I love the Lord. Praise God. I so needed that tonight. A very encouraging, strengthening. You ever woke up and when you got up and you were just sitting there or walking around, you felt lousy? Anybody beside me ever felt lousy, especially in the morning, even after you've had your breakfast or your coffee or whatever it is you have, your shower? But then there's been days that I have woke up and I felt a strength, and it wasn't my flesh, it was my inner man. Amen. It's something wonderful when God strengthens your inner man. I think that's what happened tonight, is the Lord strengthened the inner man. Praise God. Because this physical, external man is going to fade away, but the inward man is renewed day by day. Hallelujah. Prayer conference is coming up in the first weekend in November. The sign-up sheet has been in the foyer. Praise the Lord, a lady I was told at the Consulate Healthcare facility last night, they have services twice a month on Tuesday, that she was renewed in the Holy Ghost after being away from a holiness church. Is that right? So let's just thank the Lord for what he's doing. Amen. At our nursing home ministry. Thank you, Sister Mary, and for all those that are serving and helping in that ministry. Let's turn in to the Word of the Lord tonight. If hopefully you've brought your Bible. If you haven't, then make a note to never leave home without it. I actually love having my Bible, even though it's electronic. I love having it with me. I love being able to go anywhere and have Scripture easily available and accessible. I love that, because a thought will come to mind and you'll want to immediately look at the Scripture. You know, after 20-something years, the Bible hasn't gotten old. In fact, it's become even greater. It's become better. I love it even more. And that's amazing. You know, we have read books, novels. We've looked at magazines, and we read them once, and that's it. But there's something about the Word of God that no matter how many times you read it, you just can't get enough. I got to go back. I got to go back. I got to go back. Amen. Day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, decade after decade, you're still, amen, longing to know God through His Word. Hallelujah. I want to talk a little bit tonight. I've taught on this in a number of places here during a Sunday school, but I felt some things today out of this lesson, this subject, that would be beneficial to us, maybe just for me. Matthew chapter 16, I'll begin reading with verse number 23 through 25. Matthew 16, verses 23 through 25. If you have that scripture, or you can look on the screen. All right, Matthew 16, verse 23. But he turned and he said unto Peter, now this is Jesus, he said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me. That's pretty strong language, would you agree? Especially spoken to someone who's been with you and who has been following you. Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me. I hope the Lord never has to say that to me. I imagine he probably has. I just didn't hear it. He may have said it through the preacher, the preaching and the teaching, the Word of God. Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not. Everybody say, savorest not. That means you are not mindful. You do not truly regard the things. Everybody say the things that be of God. But those that be of men. Even though he was a disciple, he was not converted. He was with Jesus, but he didn't have the spirit of Jesus. And he didn't have the mind of Christ, even though he was in his presence. He did not know his purpose or his plan. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, I hope that's us tonight. I trust that we've all made that decision that we're going to go after him. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, not the cross, his cross. There's a cross that you have to bear that I may not have to bear. There are things that you may have to deal with that I may not have to deal with. Your cross may be bigger. Mine may be bigger than yours or heavier. But the bottom line is we all, if we're going to follow the Lord, we have to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. For whosoever will save his life, everybody say, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. I think one of the major struggles we have is we want to follow him and not lose anything. Hello? Especially our own life. So let's pray for just a moment. I know we've prayed quite a bit here, but let's pray and focus on what the Lord is saying and what the Lord would like to say to us here in this service. Can we do that? Let's just lift our voice again. Father, we do love you. We are so blessed to be here in your presence tonight. We have come to the conclusion that we are not sufficient in ourselves, but we are sufficient in you because you have become our sufficiency. And we need you tonight. We need your grace. We need your spirit. We need your word. I ask God that you would illuminate, Lord, your word to us, that we can see it and know it and understand it and comprehend it and follow it, that we might live a life that is pleasing to you. Hallelujah, both now and forever. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. You may be seated. I don't know about you, but the devil is not my biggest problem. And you are not my biggest problem. And the world is not my biggest problem. Now, we can become problems. We can become difficult to deal with. The devil is always out to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've lived long enough to realize that the devil is really not the greatest threat. He is not the biggest challenge in my life. The world is not the biggest challenge in my life. The biggest challenge in my life is the guy that I see when I look into the mirror. And that is the man that the Lord was dealing with, not in himself, but in Peter. And he told Peter, he says, you are an offense unto me, and you do not savor the things that be of God. Even though he was with him, for those years, they were together, I think, most of the time, most of the week. They ate together. They sung songs together. They went into the synagogue together. They went into the various cities. And they were even involved in the ministry, in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He sent the 12, and then later he sent the 70. And they were used mightily of God. And they saw the power of God before Pentecost. They saw healings and miracles, and they saw the dead raised. So this, I think, bothered Peter when him coming before the Lord with good intentions, what I feel a right desire and with the right motive. And he came to the Lord and he spoke what he spoke, and you can read the previous verses. But it didn't set well with the Lord, because the Lord had a predetermined plan of what he was going to do, where he was going to go, and how it was going to end. But Peter was not very much acquainted with that part of the ministry of Jesus Christ. And he rebuked Peter, and he says, "You are not mindful of the things that be of God, but you are very mindful of the things that be of men." And then, of course, the verses of Scripture that we are all very, very familiar with, but even today we have a problem following and complying with, and it is these Scriptures: "If any man will come after me," that means after 20 years or 25 years or 30 years, if you're still interested in following after him and being his disciple and being a sheep in his fold, then this fundamental principle still is required of you and of myself. He says, if you're going to come after me, you're still going to have to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. There will be a day, amen, that you and I will never have to bear a cross or deny self again. And that day will be when we see him in glory. But until then, we have to bear our cross and deny self. Self is what gives us the most problem. Would you agree? In fact, and I wrote some things down. Now, I have tons and tons of notes, and I don't have the time, and I don't feel you have either, to listen to all of the different scriptures that deal with this subject. This is not a New Testament subject. This is an Old Testament subject that the Lord continued when he came. God's been the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God says, "I'm God and I do not change." His word does not change. His character does not change. His will does not change. He is the same. And if you'll pay close attention as you study in the Old Testament, you'll find that the Lord required the very same thing of his people, Israel. Those that were called out to follow him. If you'll study his teaching, he required the very same thing of them. And it's when they refuse to deny themselves, it's when they refuse to do what the Lord had asked them to do, when they got into the most trouble. So we can blame the enemy all we want to, but it's probably the fact that we're just simply reaping what we've sown. And that's a good thing, because if we don't reap what we have sown, then we'll never learn to do what's right. If you and I never discipline our children, then they'll probably never learn, unless they, you know, grow up and have to learn some very, very hard lessons and maybe end up in prison. And we've dealt with many who are in prison. Some are out of prison, and some of them have come to the conclusion, I'd rather be in prison than to be dead. Hello? Well, let me just move forward here. The word deny means to forget, to lose sight of, to disown one's own interest, to turn away from, to refuse, or to refrain. This is very, very difficult, because we are naturally, in our fallen state and our Adamic nature, we are very selfish creatures. It's all about me. In fact, if you look on the internet or Facebook or all the other things that are out there, everybody wants to get a selfie in. They have magazines called Me, magazines called Self. And it's all about self-glorification. It's all about self-reliance and self-sufficiency and self, and do for yourself. It's all about self. And what we don't realize is that is based out of pride. And I feel one reason why the Lord doesn't like that, and he is rejecting that, and he is telling us, if you're going to follow me, that's going to have to go. Because he remembers way back, I'm just using that term, way back, when Lucifer was lifted up in pride. The Bible says pride was found in his heart, and he said, I will exalt myself. I will be above the Most High. I will exalt my throne. I'll do it my way. That's what self does. That's what self is. Self is determined to do it his own way. In fact, we can come to church, get the Holy Ghost, speak in tongues, get renewed in the Holy Ghost, and go back out and still continue to live a selfish, self-centered life, doing things our own way. 10 years later, 20 years later. And so that tells me that we need to look again at the scripture. I feel like the apostle, he says, I'm having to come to you a third time and to stir you up by way of remembrance. And these are verses that I have to be reminded of, because after you've been riding the horse a while, you think that you've kind of arrived and you know how to do it. But the Lord lets us know that without him, we're nothing. And we can't make it if it weren't for the grace and the mercy and the love of God. It doesn't matter how loud we scream or how much we cry or even how much we humble ourselves. Without God, we can accomplish nothing. Amen. It was David that realized that he needed his heart changed. He needed his spirit renewed, and he couldn't change his heart, and he couldn't renew his spirit. Amen. He tried, but he couldn't do it. And he realized that without the Lord, he couldn't be changed. And I'm telling you, no matter how long you and I have been in church, we still need the Lord. We still need his grace. We still need the unction of the Holy Ghost. We still need to receive the mercy of God. Every single day that you and I live, we need the grace of God and we need the mercy of God. The Bible says that his compassion, it does not fail. Hallelujah, it is new every morning. Why is it new every morning? Because that's what we need. Hallelujah, every day we need mercy, we need compassion, we need the grace of God, because we're selfish in nature. Not because we have devils to deal with, but because we have self to deal with. Oh Lord, I need help dealing with self. He didn't say go and cut yourself. He said deny yourself. And when I look at Jesus Christ, I see the perfect pattern, the perfect example of one who mastered self-control, self-denial. And we see it in the garden. He is there and he is saying, oh, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not as I will, not as self will, but thy will be done. And he conquered self once and for all. Amen. And when he was nailed to that cross, and when he was hurting and in pain, physical pain, emotional pain, he was broken, he was dying, he was still dominated by love. He was still motivated by charity. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That tells me that self was conquered. Hallelujah, human will was conquered. Hallelujah, and he was able to live a life that you and I should strive to live. That no matter what we're suffering in life, no matter what we're going through, Pastor told us just a few days ago that we can walk in charity because we have faith and we do have hope and we do have charity because we got the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is God's seed that has been deposited into our lives so that we can become what he was in the earth. Someone say yes. And that is our example, the Lord Jesus Christ. I realize that many relationships, both in church, in families, in the workplace, struggle and find great difficulty because of selfishness. I'm contending for my way and you're contending for your way. I've seen many marriages and even relationships among siblings, just constant conflict, even in churches, you know, and there's certain ones that they're always, they're the ones that are always in some kind of a deal, and there's always drama there and you know, whatever. But I think a lot of it is because of selfishness. I think if we can learn how to conquer self, we can live a more peaceable life, amen, with the Lord and with each other. Whether it be in our marriage or among our siblings, if we can learn to do this one thing, amen, we will be happier, more peaceable people if we can learn how to govern, to restrain, to deny self, because self always contends to get its way. Hello? You ever get mad when you didn't get your way? Huh? That's because we're naturally selfish. We do get mad when we don't get our way. I know everybody in here can say, amen. I've been that way. I'm still that way. Well, the Lord didn't say kill yourself. He said deny yourself. Amen. Aren't you glad he's merciful? Hallelujah. Jesus Christ himself mastered this, and he did not ask them to do anything that he was not already doing himself. And he learned to govern his humanity. His humanity was his servant. His humanity was his slave, and not the other way around. A lot of times we live by the dictates of our flesh and our emotions, and we haven't matured to the place that we dictate to our flesh and to our emotions what we will do. Hallelujah. I believe it was Joshua that said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Doesn't matter if the trial comes. It doesn't matter if the fire is hot. Doesn't matter if the floods rise. Hallelujah. He has made up in his mind that he is going to live for God. Amen. Somebody say, I'm going to live for God. It doesn't matter what my flesh feels like. It doesn't matter what I or how I'm feeling emotionally. I've determined in my spirit, I'm going to live for God. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to pay my tithes. I'm going to support the ministry. Amen. I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these other things that I'm not even going to worry about. They're going to be added unto me automatically. Hallelujah. Because I'm living a prioritized life. Amen. And when we refuse to deny self, then we are refusing to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We think that seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness is just doing the work of ministry. Seeking first the kingdom of God, amen, and his righteousness needs to be in you and in your house first, in your life first. Amen. If the kingdom is going to be manifest out there, it has to reign in here. Hello? If the kingdom of God is going to be manifest in the world, in the streets, on the college campus, on your job, and on your ministry, hallelujah, in your ministry, then the kingdom of God has to reign in you first. Amen. And not, listen to me, not just, you know, just a few, we think that we, if we just keep a few rules that the kingdom's reigning. There's more to it than that. One thing that we tend to leave out is his righteousness. I wonder what would happen if his righteousness would start reigning in our lives. If his righteousness was reigning in our lives, then we would be able to conquer self-righteousness, because self-righteousness is based out of self. The very thing the Lord said, you got to deny that. Because if you don't deny that, they'll never see my righteousness. And if they never see my righteousness, they'll never see me. So selfishness, it sabotages our relationships. Selfishness, it really does hurt your relationship with God, with yourself, with your sibling, with your friends. You know what? If you have a best friend or several close friends, if you want to keep them as best friends, or if it's a spouse, it can't be all about you. It can't be all about what you want and how you want it and when you want it. And so it can't be that way. When he said deny self, that means everywhere. Because we're supposed to follow Jesus everywhere. Amen. We want to be like Jesus in our home. We want to be like Jesus on the job. We want to be like Jesus in Publix. We want to be like Jesus everywhere. Amen. So we can follow Jesus everywhere. And if we decided to follow Jesus everywhere, then this requirement is in place everywhere. Is that okay? Is that simple enough? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hopefully I'm not confusing anybody. John chapter number 5, verse 30. The Lord said, I can of my own self do nothing. But as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will. I'm not selfish, but the will of my Father, which has sent me. It's all about following and aligning ourselves with the Spirit of God. Amen. He's the source. John 14 and 10, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. So Jesus Christ is demonstrating this life to us. He is demonstrating a life of, Pastor mentioned it, selflessness. Not selfishness, but selflessness. Praise God. And I made this statement today. At least I wrote it down. I think it makes a lot of sense, especially if you understand the scripture, if you know the scripture. Now, here's the statement. I want you to just ponder this for just a moment. The life that we live, you ready? Brother Lamar, you ready? You ready for this? Get your glove out. Get your glove out. The life that we live reveals the life that we follow. Let that sink for just a moment. And that's not proverbial. The life that we live reveals the life that we follow. It doesn't reveal the life that we hope to follow or want to follow. It reveals the life that we are currently following. That means your life reveals whether or not you're following the life of the flesh or the life of the spirit. The carnal life, the worldly life, or the life of the word. Your life reveals that. And if you don't know what your life is revealing, ask somebody. Ask somebody. And hopefully they're honest enough to tell you. In a nice way. Amen. Let me break it down a little more. Our living, our behavior, our conduct, it expresses and it exposes what we're after, who we're after. Not church, not what church you go to, but who your heart is after. And it was David. He was called a man after God's own heart. Did he make mistakes? Yes. But guess what? He got up. Amen. He accepted the correction and he went on and he served the Lord. And the Bible says of David, he did all the will of God. Isn't that amazing? That no matter how many times that you fail, if you'll get back up, you can do all the will of God. All the will of God. And I'm going to tell you, how you do all the will of God is you deny self, you take up your cross, and you follow him. Because he is going to lead you into fulfillment of his divine will. Praise God. Praise God. Some of you are waiting to get into the will, and what you don't know is you're in the will of God right now. Amen. You might be in the valley, but you're in the will of God right now. You may be in chastised, but you're in the will of God right now. Hallelujah. Amen. You might not be doing what you have dreamed about doing, but you're in the will of God right now. Hallelujah. Don't worry. You're in the will of God. I just wanted to say that for somebody. I don't know who that somebody is, maybe just to remind myself. Amen. There's lots of scriptures in the Bible that tells us, or several verses of scripture that teach us this principle about taking up our cross and following the Lord and denying ourselves. I want you to raise your hand and just wave it like this. If you find this very difficult, I find it very difficult, Brother Powell. I really do. Even today, I find it very difficult. But it is not as hard today as it was years ago when I first started off. In fact, when I first started off, I did not know how selfish I really was. But the closer I get to God and the more I see him, the more I realize how selfish I really am. And how much pride I really do have. You know, when you come to God, you get the Holy Ghost, lust does not leave. Pride does not leave. You have to conquer that. You have to deal with that. The works of the flesh are simply the works of unconquered flesh. That's what that is. If you read about the works of the flesh, and we've heard it several times over the last few weeks about the works of the flesh, well, the works of the flesh are the works of the unconquered flesh. If you let flesh have its way, flesh is going to continue to live a selfish life, self-indulgence, do what you want, however, whenever, to whomever, and then we see the works of the flesh, and they are manifest. But let me also share this with you. Fear is seated in self. And when you and I give place to fear, and when we're dominated by fear, then that tells us that self has not been conquered. Some of us are afraid to step out and do the work of the ministry because of fear. And intimidation is the result of fear. But the Lord said through Paul, I have not given you the spirit of fear, but of what? Of power. Notice the progression. Power, love, and a sound mind. It's not three separate things. It's one source that is working in you. It's kind of like a seed that is planted. There's that germination, then there's that sprouting, and then there's that continual growth. Well, it's power, love, and a sound mind. It's working in us by the source, which is the Holy Ghost. And so if we're still bound and given place to fear, that means we're not given place to the Spirit of God. We're not allowing the Spirit of God to work and to circulate and to move. Amen. We're not stirring up the gift of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, amen, that if you want to live a life that pleases and glorifies and manifests Him, hallelujah, and exposes and reflects and reveals Him, then we have to become proactive at maintaining our spiritual life so that we are less reactive in our carnal life. Praise God. Does that make sense? So, and I'm having to cut this short because of time, so I have to skip a lot of stuff. So what does that mean? That means that I have to feed the inner man. Because if I starve the inner man, guess who's going to take over? The selfish man. The fleshly man. The carnal man who loves the world. Huh? Who loves the world? The carnal man. The world appeals to the flesh, doesn't it? The Bible says all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's all in the world. Where do you and I live? We live in the world. We're exposed to that every single day. That's why we have to work at accomplishing this, because I want to follow Jesus every day. I don't want to take a day off from following the Lord. I know I only come to church and fellowship with you on a Sunday or on a Wednesday, but as for following the Lord, I want to follow Him on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Hallelujah. If I'm fishing, amen, I want to follow the Lord. That means I want to do what He asked me to do. I want to emulate Him. Hallelujah. Not only do we have the calling, we have the power to do it. Hallelujah. Not only do we have the calling and the command, we have the anointing, we have the power, we have the authority to do it. The grace of God is working in our lives. So how do we conquer self? How do we conquer self? Do you do it one day and then it's all over? Do you find yourself having to conquer self every single day? Sometimes I'm too tired to conquer self. I just like, have your way, man. I'm just being honest. Sometimes I just say, okay, whatever. I'm just going to live a selfish life. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. I'm going to eat whatever I want to eat. And ask the Lord to help me. Let's just praise the Lord a little bit. Amen. Just trying to be honest here. Mama. But I find out God's way is the best way. It's the best way. It's the right way. It works. His ways lead to life. My ways lead to death. If I do things my way, it won't work out. But if I do it God's way, it will work out. Amen. So I was thinking today, Lord, how do I accomplish this? How do I really deny self? What is the application? What does that look like? Do I just look in the mirror and say, I deny you, I denounce you, I rebuke you? It doesn't work that way. But I have found some ways that it does work. And that is when you and I go to God and we humble ourselves before God. and we cry out to him, because without him we can do nothing. Amen. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I got to have the strength of Christ to be able to accomplish this. That's why I got to go to him daily. He is still the manna of life. He is still the bread of heaven. He is still the living water. I need him to hydrate me. I need him to feed me. I need bread and I need water that comes directly from him, because I need my spirit man to be strong. If my spirit man is not strong, then I cannot accomplish this. But if my spirit man is strong, and if I'm walking with him, amen, that I can receive the strength that I need to do what I need to do, deny self, and I can receive the strength to take up my cross that I don't want to bear, but I got to bear it. Amen. So be it. I'm going to carry my cross to glory. Hallelujah. But when I get to that gate, the cross bearing is over. Somebody ought to rejoice right now. Praise God. Oh, because your trial is only for a season. Woo. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I got to close. I don't want selfishness to sabotage my relationships. How many, you go on like a vacation or something, you say it's a vacation, it's not a vacation. You go to see your family. When you go to see your family, everybody's bitter, everybody's got something bad to say about the other person, and they're not coming over, and they don't come over anymore. They don't visit us, and man, they're not speaking, and they're just kind of just shunning each other. You know, you go to the family reunions and you go visit family, and everybody's got a problem with each other. I'm like, you guys are so selfish. The first thing you need to get over is yourself, because if you can get over yourself, then you can love people. You can have a peaceable life. Forget about your rights. Worry about your responsibility and your obligation to God. It doesn't matter about your rights. It matters about your responsibility to be a witness, to be a light, to be salt in the earth. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I get tired of hearing about people's rights. These people are always talking about, I got rights. But they're irresponsible. People who are always barking about their rights are very irresponsible. And they're dominated by pride and selfishness. Ooh, my Lord, have mercy. You know, if we don't know the Lord, we'll respond wrong every time. That's right. If we're dictated by self and pride and ego, we'll do the wrong thing every time. And no matter what the results are, we'll feel justified. Because that's the only way you know to do it. But the closer you get to Jesus, the more, amen, you see him and know him and understand him and what he expects of you. And the more you align yourself up with him and his word, his expectation. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. The more like him you become. And when you become like Jesus Christ, there's going to be some people that actually like you. Now, that might not be for everybody. But the Bible says when a man's ways please the Lord, he'll make his enemies to be at peace with him. It may take some time. They may try you for a while. Hallelujah. But the word of God's going to come to pass. They might be your enemy this year, next year, and the year after. But if you keep on doing, amen, what you need to be doing, amen, following the word of God, following Jesus, denying yourself, don't avenge yourself, but let vengeance, amen, let the Lord take care of that. Hallelujah, you pray for him, you love him, you be the example. Follow Jesus, deny yourself, take up that cross. I've seen my enemies come to God and get the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand together tonight. It's 8:16. Woo, Jesus. My. I tell you what, if I can learn to conquer self through the power of the Holy Ghost and the power of the Word of God, the grace of God working in my life, I believe it was Paul that made this statement, that I am what I am because I'm holy and disciplined. He said, I am what I am by the grace of God. I've got divine influence. Hallelujah. Working on my spirit, working on my heart, teaching me what I should do and what I should not do. And I yield to that grace. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So that I can live the life that glorifies and pleases him. Amen. I wanted to deal with a lot of other things, but can I just close with this? And I'll just pretend like I'm playing music. I wish I had more time, but I don't. We become more selfish and we react when self is not conquered. I don't know if I said that right, but let me just say it this way. We react to things, to people, to situations improperly in a way that does not represent Jesus Christ when self is not conquered. And we act out and we lash out, whether it be in anger or malice or retaliation. I've seen that among siblings, even friends. I'm going to get them back. Oh, you just wait. And then the preacher's preaching. He's like, oh, yeah, that's for them. Uh-huh. I knew it. The Holy Ghost is working right now. You see, your perception's all. But check this out. I've noticed this, and I've seen it, and I've experienced it, that wounded people, damaged people, hurting people, suffering people are usually more selfish than anyone else. You ever notice that? And they'll bite you if you get too close. Because when they get hurt and they're damaged, it's all about self-preservation. But you ever notice Jesus? He let them. He gave himself. He had the power to lay his own life down. I thought today, Pastor, I said, what power was that? Was it righteous power? Was it holy power? And I felt today in my spirit that the power, what empowered him to lay his life down, was the power of charity. If there's one thing that can empower you to lay your life down and to forget about your rights and forget about getting back, there's one power. It is the bond of perfection. It is a power that does not fear death because it drives out fear. It casts out fear. It's the power of love. And if you and I make up our mind, I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to spend time with God. I'm going to love God and I'm going to let God love me. And I'm going to let God's love flow through me. Hallelujah. The result is you'll conquer self. You'll govern self. Self will be your slave and not the other way around. And you will glorify him by your life and by your works and by your attitude. I'm telling you, the power of love can work in us to do everything that we need to do, because charity is not selfish at all. Can we just lift our hands and just thank the Lord? Oh, my Father, my God, I need thee. Oh, I need thee. I need what my pastor's been preaching. I need the word of God, not just to be in my brain, but to be in my spirit, to be in my heart. So that word becomes manifest in me. And so that I become the manifestation of that word. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. That I live a life, oh God, that pleases you. So that you don't have to look at me and say, oh, you don't savor the things of God, but the things that be of me. And I want the Lord to look at me and say, oh, yeah, hallelujah, you're getting it now. Oh, you're getting it now. Praise God, praise God. I want the Lord to look at me and say, you're doing fine, son. That's the way I want it done. That's the way I want you to handle it. That's the way I want you to respond. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Why don't you grab somebody by the hand? Let's pray one for another. We'll pray for each other. We'll pray for our families right now. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. If nobody else in the home's going to be a peacemaker, I'm going to be a peacemaker. Hallelujah. That means I'm going to deny myself and take up my cross and follow the Lord. And I'm going to let the Prince of Peace reign in my life so that I can be the peacemaker that He wants me to be. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to keep peace. Oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes. We're going to live peaceably among ourselves. Oh, God, deliver us tonight. Deliver us, Lord Jesus, tonight. We don't want to be bound by guilt, shame, fear, or condemnation. These things can fuel selfishness, and we don't want to live a selfish life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, oh. We don't want to fuel the pride of life. We don't want our ego, Lord, to be exalted. Oh, we want to come to You every day and realize that without You, we can't do it. We can't live it. Oh, we've got to have Your Spirit. We've got to have Your Word. We've got to have Your grace working in us, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Help me to be more proactive, God, at taking care of my spirit, man. Help me to be more proactive in taking care of my spiritual life, my spiritual health, and my relationship with You. In prayer and fasting and supplication in the Word of God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, you can pray for your enemies. You can do good to them. You can bless them and not curse them. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Pray for their salvation. Come on, come on. Stop praying selfishly. Stop praying selfishly. Learn to direct your prayer towards the will of God. Learn what God expects and what God's wanting, and learn to pray in alignment with that. Oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes. Oh, yes, oh, yes. Oh, yes, oh, yes. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee every hour. I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to Thee. Can we praise Him again? Come on, just praise the Lord, because He's still working on us. Hallelujah, we're becoming more like Him. Hallelujah, and He's going to be glorified in the earth. Woo. In the name of the Lord. God bless you. Thank you for allowing me to minister. Thank you, Pastor, tonight. Don't forget the fish dinners on your way out for the building fund. Amen. Shake hands. Greet one another. Bless somebody. Maybe even greet them with a holy kiss. Now, don't be kissing on somebody else's wife or whatever. Keep it holy, okay? God bless you.